Oh, snap, we're back with Tribe Talk. This is Uncensored Hide the Kids, because we'd be dropping them F-bombs, because we're talking about being pissed off.
We say all kinds of stuff on the show, people.
Hell, yeah. But why?
Poop.
Buttocks.
Balls.
Taint. we started talking about PBMs largely because Tom and I were just, I just spoke at the America's Health Plan, Health Insurance Plans conference.
Where all AHIP.
The, AHIP.
What's
all
up?
All the big insurers come, and it's one of the biggest lobbying groups for health plans. Now, here's the thing. I don't hate health plans, contrary to popular belief. I think we need to actually partner with them because they're who pays for healthcare right now. Either you want to wipe them out entirely with a single payer plan or a Medicare for all, or you want to partner with them, or you want a hybrid where the government pays for a certain amount per patient and they administer it. Either way, they're going to be part of the story. So to blanketly criminalize them is a bad idea. So I'm there. I was there to tell them about 3.0. I got a standing ovation, which was ridiculous, which means they at least there are some people who care about this. When we were there.
But the room was only half full.
Hey.
Because another speaker was speaking at the same time. And that man was the former CEO of Apple, the man who fired Steve Jobs, John Sculley.
Show us the pic.
So I got this pic of Z and John talking in front of RX. What was their?
It was RX Advance.
RX Advance's group. Behind them, you can see a Mercedes that they were giving away.
Show that clip again.
They were raffling away a GL550, which is a $60,000 car.
Okay, so if you, by the way, that's me going, oh my God, you're the guy who fired Steve Jobs. Can I touch you? Because that's amazing. Like, and Jeff Daniels played you in the movie. Like, who, I mean, how weird do you have to be to have Jeff Daniels play you in any movie? Like, it's interesting. So anyway, Sculley, he was actually really nice, and he explained what his company does, RX Advance. So they're like, they're a PBM, they're pharmacy benefits manager. And if you want the backstory on this, watch the original show we just did that was a cleaner version you can share about PBMs and what they do and why they're jacking us. And we were introduced, and he said, this is what we're doing. We're trying to make PBMs more transparent. We're using AI and technology to say, okay, what are the best prescribing patterns, what's the best drug for this particular patient at the point of decision making, and really actually trying to fulfill the promise that PBMs had, which is to make medications more less expensive, more efficient, and better prescribed by doctors. Now, of course, he's saying all this to me, and all I hear is, go ahead, play that picture again. I want to, this is me.
Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah, PBM, wah-wah-wah-wah, money, wah-wah-wah-wah, I fired Steve Jobs.
That's all I heard. That's all I heard is I fired Steve Jobs, and I was fanboying. And Tom, by the way, was like a little screaming little schoolgirl. He was like, oh my God, is this John Sculley? I read the book, and I saw the movie, Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, and he was wearing Vans with his suit.
He was wearing Vans.
That's powerful.
And I asked him, we asked him about that, and he said, I never wear leather shoes anymore.
And no, he was a really cool guy, but I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this fucking Mercedes mm-hmm. being raffled away, and I'm mm-hmm. just thinking, what do you do? Mm-hmm. How do you provide value?
Mm-hmm.
Who has the money to give away a Mercedes?
Well, that's the thing. So this is where our $600 EpiPen, and I'm not saying their company in particular, I'm just saying there's so much money sloshing around in healthcare that is, they gave it away to some chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we watched her win it.
Yeah.
And she didn't even seem that enthused.
No, she was
I shouldn't put stuff
she's
on.
She's like, I know. I got to pay the gift tax on this. No. But so here's the thing, guys. Like, the point being, he was trying to figure out what's a way we can modernize PBMs to actually make them useful. But our question is, are they even necessary? Is there a better way to do it? Should companies bring it in-house? Should health plans bring it in-house? But then, you know, it's very complicated. Let's read some comments. What do we got, Tom?
Why doesn't Logan join you guys for Tribe Talk anymore? We relegated him.
Because they hate me.
Logan's back there,
yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he just needs to run the damn board because otherwise our audio gets janky and people yell at us.
So the PBMs have said that they need to operate like a black box, basically, because those are trade secrets.
Right.
Their prices.
Because if they tell you what they're, you know, what Novartis is getting in kickbacks, and or they're charging them for rebates, and they tell Anthem, then you don't want Anthem to know what Aetna's getting, right? Yeah. So we can't tell anybody what the rebates are, because otherwise you'll all F each other.
Is like your teenager locking their door.
Yep.
And being like, I'm not smoking weed in here, Mom. These are trade secrets for how I study. I get really high in that study. That's a trade secret, Mom.
And then you walk in and go, where'd you learn to do this? Where'd you learn to do this? And they go, I learned it from watching you, Dad. I learned it from watching you. I'm going to read some comments from the last one because I think there were some good ones. Let's read those top comments. So there are smaller PBMs that are completely transparent, have aligned incentives, and charge a flat per fill fee for the prescriptions. But employers are afraid not to go with the big guys, David Contorno. This is what I've heard. And I'll tell you, I've sat in these meetings where we talk and they're like, well, this is what Optum's doing and this is what this is doing and this is the rebates. We got to try to get a piece of that rebate and this and that. I'm telling you, the amount of money sloshing around is sick. And here I am like Mr. Turntable going, these people are sick and all need to be stopped.
Adam McMillan says, sounds like capitalism is starting to solve the problem. Why would we need to switch to a single payer system then? Doesn't seem to be the next logical step to me. Please explain.
Capitalism is starting to solve the problem? How's
capitalism
that?
Capitalism solves all the problems.
We have a $3.2 billion enterprise that is shackling capitalism because it's like a freaking ball and chain on our leg. We're trying to walk.
$320 billion.
No, $3.2 trillion economy around healthcare, yeah. $320 billion just on pharmacy benefit managers. This is capitalism, but it's not. What it is, it's a fucked up kind of communist capitalism because who is setting prices? A fiat committee at CMS that is lobbied by the specialty medical groups that say, we want this much for a hip replacement and we want this much for a cataract and we want this much. And the primary care guys are like, well, can we get money to prevent disease? Shut the fuck up, primary care.
Oh, snaps.
You know what I'm saying? And this is how the prices are set. Then the insurers have to reimburse those prices because Medicare sets the fee schedule and all the and the insurers sign up behind that. And then you have the big pharma companies, which are effectively not really competing with each other when there's only one drug. And then you have three PBMs doing everything. And then you have hospitals who negotiate very opaque contracts with insurers that push out independent practices. And in the end, this is not capitalism, people. This is crony socialist bullshit. Anyone who says capitalism's working in healthcare in the US is fucked in the head, period. If you want capitalism to work, unwind this shit and make it actually work. I'm a believer in the free market. Tom's a believer in
But
I learned it from watching you, Dad.
The government had already fucked it up, man.
So the government did.
Capitalism is clean, it's efficient. People organize, efficient, free market hypothesis. Adam Smith, blah, blah, blah. It's the government, Z.
Upton Sinclair.
You want to take government and use it, make it even bigger, Z.
Upton Sinclair, the government? The jungle, all right? You want healthcare to be Upton Sinclair's the jungle, you have to take government entirely out of it. That's never, first of all, it's never going to happen. Government's already 50 to 60% in. So now the question is, how do you make them in without fucking everything up? How do you unwind these monopolistic, opaque practices like the PBMs are doing? Because listen, if it's a black box and we don't see where our money goes, fuck it, I walk into the ER, I have no idea what I'm gonna pay for my sutures. That's fucked up. Nowhere else in the economy can you do that, Tom. Yeah. I can't go to, maybe a mechanic might do that to me. They hold all the information. There's an asymmetry of information. But even there, I can go to a different mechanic. I can get, you know, multiple opinions. You know, if my car isn't running, I'll have it towed to another motherfucker. But in healthcare, if my head isn't working or I'm coming in with a stroke, I'm gonna pay the market rate. Right? And I don't even know what that market rate is because of the nature of how these things are structured. If we could rebuild it from scratch, Tom, we could make capitalism work for healthcare. But now we're fucked. That's what I think. So how do we fix it? First of all, you have to change the incentives. We have to be incentivized to keep people well, and we have to have some transparency. Without those two things, we're never going to fix healthcare. And we're going to talk more and more about some specific ways we can do that. What do we got here?
Genevieve says, what's Tom do for work? This is what I do for work. Weird, right?
He's re-employed. It is. This is his full-time gig now, except he also does other stuff, like trade Bitcoin.
I hella trade Bitcoin.
That's right.
You should all buy some Bitcoin. Just saying. This is not a financial advice, all right? Every time I give advice, I say, I don't know, though, so you can never say I ruined your life. You know what I'm saying?
Brian Burt's hating on Caremark, one of the PBMs. He says, well, I was working in a very rural place. Caremark screwed up, didn't ship the prescription, seizure meds, refused to overnight it, takes 10 days to get it, can't drive 90 minutes to the pharmacy, no license due to seizures, patient seizes, they suck. Well, so this again gets to the thing is like, we're not very personalized in medicine. We don't have the capacity to respond to individual situations well because we have a one size fits all, massive monolithic approach when you have three big companies running all of the pharmacy benefit management. And there's some good stuff they do. For example, they brought down the price of hepatitis C drugs.
Right.
So that was one success that they had. Narcan and EpiPens, it's criminal for them to be allowed to do it. Jeremy LeMaster. It's criminal, but see, this is what's happening. We're talking about capitalism. They're doing what they're incentivized to do, guys. They're behaving in a free market way. They're saying, well, you know what? This is possible to take this money. Why don't I do it? There's nothing in the fabric of capitalism that says you have to do the right thing for people. You have to do the right thing for your fiduciary responsibility, which is to the shareholders. So how do we align the fiduciary responsibility with the right thing for people? Well, that's going to take something, right? That's going to take a higher level of thinking, and it may take some regulation, but not the kind of regulation we have now, because that's bullshit regulation.
See, I'm a free market capitalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that in capitalism, you only succeed if you do well for other people. But where that falls apart is when you have government regulation that is dictating, you know, it's sort of creating this oligarchical environment, this monopolistic environment.
You know, I don't entirely disagree with you in healthcare, because in healthcare, the government is so intertwined with the private sector that they have a marriage. It's not like right. It's one or the other. They are deeply, whenever I go to Washington to speak for somebody, that somebody is always lobbying Congress while they're there.
That's all we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about healthcare. That's in politics all the time.
It's all throughout everything. You know? How do you think highways are built? I mean, it's all, So the question though, Tom, is we can't unwind government from this. So how do we fix what we have without blowing the entire system up?
Well, have you ever heard the Silicon Valley billionaires? They always talk about the world of bits versus the world of atoms. And they say it's very easy to, you know, the world of bits being the digital world. Mm. It's very easy to innovate in the digital world because nobody's regulating bits. But healthcare is all atoms almost, right? Mm. And that's regulated. I mean, almost across the board. There are so many things you can't do. So how are you supposed to innovate these new systems, even financial systems that are around that world?
Yeah, and you know, there's two ways to do it. You blow the whole thing up, you take government out of it entirely, which is, I'm gonna guarantee you, it's never gonna happen.
Right.
Because look how even trying to unwind Obamacare, it's not gonna easily happen without massive voter outrage now. Because that's the nature of an entitlement program, right? And whether you believe in it or not, that's the nature of it. But the question is, so either you blow it up and you start from scratch, fresh, pure capitalism, free market, which again, I worry in healthcare, I just worry about it. But, or you go to this government thing and you say, no, we're gonna blow up how we're doing it in the government. Logan gets to make his politics known through hashtags. I get to make mine known by talking incessantly about it. So if you actually change the incentives that the government's doing, for example, the CMS incentives on reimbursement, which it's gonna butt hurt some specialty groups, which means we probably need less specialists and more primary care docs. It's gonna, you know, we're gonna have to change how we pay for drug reimbursement. We actually have to use evidence-based practices for which drugs actually do a damn thing and which are just fucking placebos, which are a lot of them. Or the difference between them is a placebo difference. So one of the things Caterpillar did when they ditched their PBM is they said, fuck it, we're not gonna cover expensive anti-lipid drugs. We're gonna cover the ones that are shown to work for the most people and pay for those, and they're a lot cheaper. And they saved a bunch of money. Now, what you'd want to do is go in and look at outcomes for patients. I'm going to bet you that the outcomes are unmeasurably different. Because these drugs, look, the difference between fucking statin A and statin B, statin A is 10x more expensive, statin B is older, and the clinical difference is you need to treat 1,000 people to save one is the difference. Is that really a cost-effective way to do medicine when we do have limited resources? You're trying to cover that, you know, person who has no insurance. How can you do it if you're making stupid decisions like paying, you know, 10x for a 1 in 1,000 chance at helping somebody?
Yeah. Rick Kraske says the amoral hand of the market moves too slowly against fraud and abuse. Oversight is necessary to protect vulnerable populations. And I have to agree with Rick, even though I'm a free market capitalist, because he's right.
Well, because if there's no financial incentive to help vulnerable populations, they're not going to do it. What Tom, you said something earlier. You say capitalism ideally, when it works, is you do well when you do good.
Yeah.
And this is something John Mackey and
basic foundational economics, right? You go to a mechanic, he does a shitty job, he rips you off.
Right.
Do you tell your friends to go to that mechanic?
Yeah. But here's where healthcare becomes complicated, because first of all, people go to places under duress, so they can't make an educated decision.
That's step one. It's wrong from the jump.
Step one is there's a problem. Step two, there's an information asymmetry. So doctors, hospitals, healthcare owns most of the information. Patients cannot get the 4 years of medical school and 3 years of residency to do their own primary care. No matter what WebMD tells you, no matter what Dr. Google tries to convince you of, you just can't. And so as a result, you're gonna have to rely on outside experts, which makes it harder. And that's true with the mechanic, but with the mechanic, it's a lot easier to go laterally and find second opinions, but people still get screwed. So it is, and plumbers screw you. I mean, a lot of people screw you.
Partially though, getting screwed is part of life. And
yeah, it is.
Of course it's part of capitalism.
It is, but I think part of the problem is now we're trying to pay for healthcare and it's so expensive because we're doing it wrong. Even our practice of it's wrong. We're so top heavy on specialty care, interventional care, stuff people don't need, and we're not at all focused on the 100 acre woods prevention, bigger picture thinking, population health. And if we could get that right, we could save a ton of money. And then Who pays for it is an easier question. You know, employers can pay for some of it, the government can fill in the gaps, et cetera. My take is that if we fix the care model, the 3.0 piece of it, we pay for it easily because it's much less expensive. And if that means a Medicare for all as a basal level of coverage, that then people can purchase supplemental to get shit that they probably don't need.
Right.
They can do that. Maybe that's how it ought to be. Now, people are gonna shit and scream and say that's socialized medicine. It's not, assholes. Socialized medicine is where you own, where the government owns all the mechanisms of healthcare delivery. The hospitals, they employ the doctors, they employ the nurses, they own the drugs. That's socialized medicine. That will never happen in the U.S.
I don't know, Z. I don't know, man. You love Bernie Sanders so much, why don't you marry him, dude?
I think that guy's crazy. you love Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders wouldn't let me have this iPad 10.5 inch, okay? Because it costs money. I had to get enough money to buy this. I would have been taxed into not being able to buy this.
Michelle says, so if outcomes is the incentive, how will this change drug and treatment invention and progress the resources and knowledge in medicine? So basically innovation, R&D.
Yeah.
And how does it affect that?
Yeah, I mean, look at Europe and the level of innovation going on in healthcare, and then compare it to the US.
Yeah.
And now people in Europe are gonna get butt hurt, but I'm gonna say this is a fact. The R&D and the drug innovation is mostly happening in the US. Medical device innovation mostly happening in the US.
America.
Put it up, Logan. Illuminati.
Hashtag America.
America.
Hashtag Illuminati.
America. But who's paying for it? The American consumer. Because we have these jacked up drug prices, jacked up. So someone's paying for it. There isn't shit that's free. If we want innovation to occur, first of all, we have to incentivize it through rational payment models for healthcare. And part of that may mean you provide a certain minimal level of care, but you know, maybe the private insurers are willing to pay for more complicated procedures, and that will see. Okay, the reason innovation happens now in the US, I can work on a drug that's gonna cost a shit ton of money because I know some motherfucker's gonna pay for it. An insurance company's gonna have to pay for it when I cure hepatitis C.
And you got 20 years to profit from
it. Totally, because of the patent protection, whatever it is. So it's in the bag. Now what happens when you change that incentive? Are people gonna spend, and this is my take too. The way we do R&D in this country is fucked up. We have shitty processes for advancing science, shitty peer review, everything's overwhelmed. If we spent, and I've said this and it's a crazy idea, if we put a hold on all R&D spending for a year in every medical aspect. Now, people
never
will shit.
Would happen.
It'll never happen, people will shit. And we spent all that money on improving research processes. I guarantee you the very next year, we would cure hella cancers, solve hella diabetes, and really, that would be where we need to invest in the infrastructure of research.
I gotta fundamentally disagree, Z. I think that we just need to kill more mice. Like, we're not killing enough mice.
I agree with that.
We should up those numbers.
Kill all the mice.
Let's kill 30, 40 times more mice.
I want a mouse genocide.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is a communist. Ah. Oh.
So just give a bunch of mice cancer and then kill them.
Mice cancer. Do you think, here's a stupid question, do you think Bernie Sanders would have won against Trump?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. What do you think, Logan?
Fuck no.
He would have won.
Fuck no.
I think
a lot of Trump voters were Bernie Sanders voters.
I think they were.
A lot.
Yeah, I think they were.
Although Bernie Sanders is a fucking moron. I mean, Jesus Christ.
No comment.
Here's the thing. If you like Bernie Sanders, I think Bernie Sanders would have made an amazing president of a small to mid-sized retirement community in Boca Raton. Alice can't plant her azaleas there. Alice has been doing this shit too much, see?
Oh, we're butt-hurting a lot of socialists.
You mean communists?
Oh.
Don't sugarcoat it, yeah.
I wouldn't be upset about killing mice, says Barbara Bear. I think Sanders would have won, Kristen. Z-Dog is so great, I feel blessed to have an iPhone. Dear Lord, please buy me an iPad like Z-Dog. Danson, Catherine, Dopkins. That's my favorite comment of the night. But we seem to excel at separating conjoined twins who share meninges. It hits us where we live. Liz Mongeri. We practice medicine with our elephant, with our unconscious emotional engine, not with our rational engine. If we used our rational engine, if our rational engine was actually rational, Tom, we would allocate healthcare in a way that benefited the most people for the least amount of money. We don't do that. We practice emotional medicine.
Right.
We save the conjoined twins. We spend tons on a fancy Lipitor that's barely gonna help anybody, but it just so happens to be a 65-year-old grandfather that we wanna live as long as possible, so we give him the best possible drug. Even though the second best probably would have been fine. And actually eating better and exercising would have even been better.
Debbie says, avoid health problems by hitting the food industry.
Ah, so the food industry is another culprit in this mess that is
supported
by the government.
This is something that gets batted around A lot.
Corn subsidies.
Corn subsidies are subsidies. Dope as fuck. I love corn subsidies. You know why? Because people don't starve in America. Okay? They're quite fat as hell, but they don't starve.
But this is the thing. They still do. There are still kids who go hungry to school. There's still kids that are going hungry to school.
They got free lunch, Z.
I don't believe it, man.
Communist lies.
Communist lies. All right, people.
You've been outvoted, Z.
All I'm going to say, you're worried about who's starving? I'm showing you a picture of the room service I had, okay? This is how the 1% lives, people. This is how Z-Dog lives when he travels. It's a crab cake with a lobster claw, okay? Sorry, starving kids. Z-Dog has lobster. You have no school lunch.
Carrie Bennett says, what? You mean you have to stop eating fatty foods and sugar? You shut up.
You shut up.
You shut up, Carrie Bennett.
She's right. No. How good is corn, Lance Mabry?
So bomb.
It's pretty tasty.
Y'all ever had some cornbread?
Dude.
Because mm-hmm. Your boy grew up in the South.
Mrs. Dog made what she called crazy corn. It's like hella paprika and some spicy shit, and you soak it, and you cook it, and delicious.
Yes, there are kids that go hungry, especially when school is out, Crystal says. Remember when I said on this show that if you can't afford to feed your children, we should take your children away from you? And people got hella mad.
Oh, yeah. Why were you saying shit like that? Oh. Okay, look at this comment. Jessica Garduño, now we're just having fun. I hate Bernie. As soon as he said some high school kid that works at McDonald's deserves to make close to what some LPNs make, they lost me. Okay, here's the thing. All right, guys. This is all right.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. I'm technically liberal of center. Okay, I know Logan's mad.
Boo.
I grew up in the Central Valley of California. Everyone was a right-wing fucking nut, agriculture farmer lunatic. I thought they were batshit crazy. I thought they were mean. I thought they were mean-spirited. I thought they were nasty, and I couldn't understand them, and I wanted to get the fuck out. Then I went to Berkeley, and I was like, these people are communists. Like, something is mentally wrong with these people who want to take people who work really hard and give their money to people who haven't fucking been held accountable for shit in their lives a single day, and their excuse is, well, they were raised in a tough environment, and there was this and that held them back. And part of me was like, fuck all y'all. So the truth is, there's truth on all sides of the political aisle. We need to find it, use it, and have the conversation, and stop hating on each other. So I grew up to realize, no, conservatives aren't crazy. They have very valid points. Liberals aren't crazy. They have very, very, very valid points. Logan will never accept any of those points, but he's also not going to go try and kill liberals. Boo.
Well, and the reason like people are like, oh, politics. Like, we keep talking about politics because, like we said, it affects healthcare so much.
Deeply.
And, you know, the Bernie Sanders ideas.
Yeah.
Like, just give everybody health care. It's like, well, no. We can't do that.
Got paid for that shit.
Because of accountability, we could probably do it financially if we cut other things like military spending. Right. But you can't cut military spending with the current economic policies. You know what I mean?
Well, and these are...
Anyway, I don't believe in any of the wars, the fake wars we're fighting in other parts of the world.
Do you want to be part of Chinatown?
That is how
the economy Ni hao, Logan.
But I'm saying,
don't forget, my wife is Chinese. I'm ready to be part of China.
We have to hold people accountable, and that's the big political discussion we're always having in healthcare.
No, and I think yes and to both sides of this argument, because we need to hold patients accountable. We need to hold caregivers accountable. We need to hold insurance accountable. We need to hold PBMs accountable for the bullshit they're doing. And this degree of accountability means that we all need to also have an eye to the larger whole as well as the individual. Both are important, but if you ignore one or the other, and I think each political side ignores one or the other at their peril. Like, for example, liberals really love to champion individual rights when it comes to abortion, women's rights, etc., racial equality. But they want to abolish individual rights when it comes to more collectivist decision-making, social policies, social nets, things like that.
Yeah.
Republicans love individual rights when it comes to guns, when it comes to the right to be a capitalist without interference and regulation. But they hate individual rights when it comes to abortion, freedom to be gay and marry, things like that. At least old school conservatives. So it's a thing, man. We got to just do better overall.
How about you all stop being hypocrites? How about that?
Start with us, because we're big hypocrites.
Like, I skew conservative, but I love abortion. No, I'm kidding. I skew conservative, but I'm pro-choice because the crime rates go down.
You mean you love baby murder?
He's a pragmatic.
Ever since Roe v. Wade happened, the crime rates have shrunk in this country.
There is evidence that that's the case.
I'm for less crime.
And I'm not going to talk about abortion because I think it's a very complicated issue.
Don't you think every problem in our society comes from children being raised by people who don't want them, need them, or care for them?
I think many problems come from that.
Many, I would say like 90%.
And
like,
but, so
most
this is,
problems.
And the thing is, this is a fixable problem. Either you abort all the babies.
Oh my God.
Right? That's a fix.
Oh,
it's the wrong fix. Or you start addressing the social determinants of behavior and health and crime. And Tom loves killing babies. That's his hashtag.
Damn.
Just for the podcast
people. That's cold-blooded.
Who've already tuned out.
That's cold-blooded.
So, you know, the thing about this is there are ways to address this in every cycle of generation if we either perpetuate this or we start to intervene. Now, to come to Bernie Sanders' defense for a second, and I don't like most of his policies, but his idea that we need to think more globally in terms of our social impact, it is important, but we cannot easily... The dark side of that is getting butthurt and running to a safe space when someone says something we disagree. So we will find the balance in the force. It's guaranteed, because we're not total idiots. Most of us are. I am. But some of us that aren't, they're going to lead us.
Hopefully.
No, probably not. We're going to have to do it ourselves. Eventually. Do you think anyone's going to stop, you know, healthcare worker violence if we don't fucking stand up? No. That's why we're making it a serious cause. Do you think anyone is going to yell at PBMs for taking a bunch of money if we don't make it a cause, all of us together? No. Yeah, we've got to do something. But the problem is it'll be bullshit legislation that'll pretend to fix the problem.
By the way, hella people agree with me that all the problems in our society stem from children not being wanted or cared for properly.
There ain't going to be a future generation. You keep talking like that, Tom Heineberg.
What? It's true.
She killed
Logan cares about babies.
I love babies.
The developed world.
It ain't the baby's fault.
Almost every country in the developed world, birth rates are going down.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is a problem in Japan. They're actually getting into zero and negative birth growth, which is a problem. Let's read some of this. I agree with it's a complicated statement. So many facets, ins and outs, what have you. Nice Lebowski quote. Daily, new things come to light. Chase Hall. You know, Chase, this rug really tied the fucking room together, man. You guys are hilarious. Love watching all the butthurt comments that come out of it. Susan Palmer, yeah. You know, honestly, I think people aren't that butthurt. I think they just like to make their comments known, which is great. Aborting children isn't the answer, Rachel Cowart.
This is a butthurt-free zone, except for the times when Z pisses off the type 1 diabetics and they come flooding in here.
Hey, I've talked about insulin twice, you motherfuckers. Twice in your favor. What I love about those guys, the ones that are still pissed off on Twitter, is like, They're biting the one person who can really, really, really advocate for them with both patients and providers in the ass and pissing him off such that now I'm just scared to talk about diabetes. Whereas otherwise I would have been like, let's talk about diabetes.
Let's see. Melissa Barnett says, what do we do? I have written my congressman a million times, reported my assaults. What do we do?
Oh, stay tuned.
We're going to be talking about this.
We're going to talk about the healthcare worker violence thing much, much, much more. Jade Cantrell is totes not butthurt, LOL.
Logan, the sound is fucked up.
Damn it. Unplug that and plug it back in. It's hot, probably.
It is
hot. Stay tuned, guys. Stay with us.
We love you guys.
I'm going to turn it sideways and see if that helps. Probably won't.
How's the sound now, guys? Let us know.
It's good now.
So interesting comments here on the abortion piece. And I think that's a whole...
We should do a whole thing.
That's
on
a whole
abortion.
Thing, you know, because I'm
where
not.
Where do you come down on abortion?
I'm not
pro-choice, right?
You know what
you
I
like
am?
To kill babies, right?
I'm pro-choice because I think that ultimately the decision is the mother's. However, I'm anti-abortion because I think I really, having been present at abortions when I was training.
That is, you can't say two things.
Well, but I can because I think this. Because I think this is the heart of the abortion issue.
I believe that every child should have ice cream in the refrigerator, but also no children should eat ice cream. This is what I believe.
Well, I'll tell you two things. As a man, I have no fucking right to tell any woman what the fuck to do. A.
So I usually come down on that side.
Yeah.
Also,
that's A. But as a father, it is to me, if we could prevent an abortion by using fucking birth control, by the way.
Amen.
People who are anti-birth, even Logan is pro-birth control.
Fuck yeah.
He's a libertarian.
Fucking give it out.
Give
it's
it
like
out.
Like candy.
Condoms.
Yeah, that's the other one too.
And then make abortion illegal.
Who are the conservatives that don't want free birth control?
Well, the Catholic Church.
Yeah, the Catholic Church can suck it.
They can suck it.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're dead.
That's an old rule designed to create more Catholics. Yeah, I mean, come on. There's no room in our society for that anymore.
Look, if we can't get birth control
and
right...
And I'm Catholic, so I can say what I feel like.
I think anybody who's who's anti-birth control and anti-abortion
is crazy
and hypocritical.
That's crazy.
Let's go on record with that. I think we should try to make it such that abortions are something that only happen in the most extreme cases, because it is a failure of something. It's a failure of contraception. It's a failure of planning. It means we're not doing something right. Would I make it illegal now? No, I wouldn't, because there are people who really, and again, as a male, I cannot make that decision for a woman. I can't, and I won't. And I'm not really a feminist per se. I'm just not a fucking total asshole.
I mean, and then you have to have the conversation about when life starts, you know, all that kind of
stuff.
So, like, what week does it start at? Because my wife is a NICU nurse, and they save these 23 weekers now.
And it keeps pushing.
And you can abort them.
They do not look viable, okay? I have gotten walked through the NICU several times.
Yeah.
They don't seem like they're compatible with life.
It's like Close Encounters of the Whoa. What the hell is that?
Yeah. It looks like the thing from Men in Black when it's like inside the pod and it's,
Hell yeah. Still get like nightmares about that.
The galaxy is on Orion's belt.
Birth control is actually very cheap and very accessible, says Carlene Cummings. Hell, I saw Plan B at the local grocery store. It's getting there, Carlene, but you know what? There's also an education component. There's also a teen adolescent component where they just take risks all the time. But, you know, look, okay, let's talk about this for 1 second. Tom mentioned that since abortion became legal in 73, we've seen the crime rate to decline about 2 decades later, when these purportedly unwanted children would have come of age and been criminals.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing. There's some nuance to that discussion, too. But let's just operate on the pretension that it's true. Wouldn't it be better, and again, I'm not saying we should illegalize abortion, I'm saying, wouldn't it be better if we kind of hit the root cause of why people would have children that they don't want and try to address that? It's very hard. Now, this is a liberal argument, guys. This is an argument that says we ought to be involved in some social engineering, to the extent that we should figure out how to lift people out of poverty, give them the opportunity to participate in a meritocracy. And the ones that can't, that are completely unwilling or unable to have accountability, we put them on an island and let them fight to the death for a reality show.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm down with that. In Russia.
Russia's already doing it.
Everything's legal in New Jersey.
Buffy says, nobody should have a baby they don't want. Hashtag psych nurse. Mm. So clearly Buffy has seen some shit.
No, we've all seen some shit. An unwanted baby is a tragedy. It's a tragedy at the time. It's a tragedy when they become adults. Not always. Some people really rise out of these very abusive families.
Is it hard to adopt a kid in our society?
It's too hard.
Because I see a lot of, like, oh, they go to China or Russia to get kids and stuff.
It's too
but
hard.
If there's all these unwanted babies, do you think there's enough?
Don't you think the adoption process should be easier?
I
think this is a huge deal, actually. And again, I don't know why we're talking about this when we're talking about PBMs right now.
Yeah, I know, right? We went down the rabbit hole.
But that's the nature.
Tribe talk, we can do whatever we want.
And Christy Columbus, it's a woman's body. This I agree with. I was born 3 months early, weighing 2 pounds and 6 ounces. Jim Marty.
Debbie says, an unwanted baby is called adoptable. But the problem is, Debbie, most unwanted babies just get left in neglect or abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stuck with the family that they're born into more often than not.
Yeah.
I'm somebody's unwanted baby.
Are you? Yeah. You're my unwanted baby.
Yeah.
I actually used a time machine and had you. Not with your mom, though, with someone else, because that'd be weird. Someone else.
With yourself.
Right.
You're bald like a baby.
I am. My kid was doing this in a restaurant the other day to my head. You were an unwanted baby?
Yeah, hell yeah. Because my mother had postpartum psychosis, and then she never recovered. It went full-blown, like, schizoaffective disorder, and she's been that way forever since, basically. So I never had that from my mother. Luckily, I had, like, enough of a support group around me that I was able to grow up somewhat normal. Still a little maladjusted.
Yeah, like, you're definitely maladjusted, but like you've turned out pretty good for somebody who's had a very challenge. And I know more about Tom's upbringing than you will know, but I will say that the fact that he's as together as he is and is such a kind of go-getter is a testament to the human will. And also, I think your father's a pretty cool,
You know, the thing is, it's not, you know, the same water that softens the potato, it hardens the egg. So it's not about your circumstances, it's about what you're made of, you know? That's what I tell myself.
I'm trying to keep a straight face. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing, Tom Heinemann. Let's read some comments. Crystal DeVore, I'm the South I'm in the South. Some women have to travel 12 or more hours to get an abortion, and they don't have the money to make that trip and pay for the abortion. Crystal DeVore. So now Crystal's getting into the specifics of how access to abortion is also an issue. I'm an unwanted baby, says Anne Rebe, or Rebe. My mom is mentally ill. She told me to kill myself last Christmas, and so she's no longer a part of my life. And I'm really sorry. That's very hard. That is very hard.
I feel you, girl.
Yeah. I was a wanted baby, mm-hmm. but treated like I was an unwanted. Because my parents worked so hard as doctors, immigrant doctors, that literally they weren't around. So I was raised by the Jamaican babysitter and picked up an accent for a while.
My mom is just like that. I mean, she thinks Logan's name is Larry. Has for some time.
It is Larry.
So why? It is Larry. What's up, Larry? Logan is now officially Larry, the cable guy. Tom, I hear Coke Zero helps with that, says Amanda Thomas.
I told Z I was drinking like 13, 14 Coke Zeros a day. I said, is that good for me? And he was like, I couldn't think of anything worse, Tom Heinenberg, except maybe smoking cigarettes.
Maybe. But like, I mean, all the data seems to suggest that drinking even a Coke a day leads to a diet drink.
Your diet Coke leads to Alzheimer's. Dude, I can't get Alzheimer's. I'm too cool.
He literally told me this once. I told him, you know, have you seen this recent link between Alzheimer's and diet soda? He's like, I can't get Alzheimer's. I'm too cool. Like, it's that kind of thinking that ends up. This is why people are like, how do unwanted babies happen? Tom Heinenberg has sex ever. Because that's just how it would happen. He'd be like, I won't get people pregnant. I'm Tom Heinenberg. There you go. Tom, wow, thank you for sharing. We are all fucking maladjusted, says Buffy Dover. Way more normal than we have any right to be. That's this guy right here, actually. And you guys only know the tip of the iceberg.
I think that normal people are fucking gay. I hate normal people.
Come on, dude.
Is this 2006, Tom?
Where are we now?
Where you can use that word? You
can't use the G word like that.
Listen, I don't mean gay like they're homosexuals. No. I mean like... They're gay, like...
Happy?
They're lame. Sus. Yeah?
You know what you're doing?
Because I love homosexuals.
What Tom is doing is taking... Actually, Tom does.
He does.
Tom is, like, more pro...
Okay, now you made it sound weird.
Okay. But never that. Well...
I was wanting to be an advocate, but not go that far.
But see, here's the thing. You took back a word that was already taken back. Like, you're like, no, wait, gay people took back the word gay a long time ago, and Tom's like, no, I'm taking it back again. And look at all the pride flags you're getting.
Hell yes.
Look at that.
My people.
Pride. That's one thing I will say. I am unequivocally, like, that's what pissed me off. We talked about
the Tom other day. Wants hate mail.
But yeah, Tom gets hate mail daily.
Hell no, I get the pride flag, yo.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Throw a few pride flags out. Do you have
I don't have. I don't know how everybody's got the pride flag.
You're such a homophobe. You don't
how
even
do
have
you
a
get
pride
the pride flag?
You gotta be gay,
gotta
Tom.
Go to the, Look.
Don't you have to go to the pride site?
Mine doesn't.
You gotta be gay.
Mine doesn't have a pride
You don't have to be gay to have
you
a pride
do.
Flag.
You do.
I don't
really?
Get it, you guys.
Because I will literally consider
my sexual orientation.
Switching teams to get a pride flag. Look at all those pride flags. Liz Mongeri, Tom is right about the gelatinous 24-weekers of 700 grams who are resuscitated in the NICU. Very not viable. Mm. True.
I know, right?
Gelatinous. That's a good word, and I don't like it at all, Liz.
Poor Tom's wife.
Poor Tom's wife that. Puts up with that.
She's
Tom's
a
wife is a saint. She is a saint. You just like my wife is a saint. You have to like the Facebook page, LGBT page. Okay, go to that page now. Tom's going to like it, and he's going to get a pride flag, and he's going to pride it.
I want a pride
it.
Flag.
Because he used the G word in vain. Ooh. So much retinopathy.
I blame Eminem. I've been listening to a lot of Eminem.
Oh, remember when Eminem got in big trouble, and then he did a duet with like Elton John, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
LGBT? LGBT. I don't see the pride flag.
I like it. Do I get it now?
It takes like an hour.
Oh, it takes an hour. They have to... They're gonna vet you by watching the show, and
they're
like,
"Dude, he just referred to."
Oh, pride! You guys need to come to Buffalo.
Hell yeah!
I've been to Buffalo. I did a talk there. Everybody asked me to come to Buffalo. I'm like, "Bitch, where were you when I did my talk?" We'll come back to Buffalo. It was dope, dude. Let me tell you, the food in Buffalo off the chain.
Home of the Buffalo wing, the world's greatest food.
I didn't have a single motherfucking wing, and it was still amazing.
Yeah.
Yep, I had a salad, bitch. It was so good. Look at all that pride coming our way.
There's a fight between the two places.
Pride. Sorry, the fight between what?
There's a fight between the two places that are that invented Buffalo Wings, allegedly. Oh. So you don't know which one's the real place.
Right, Buffalo Bob's and Buffalo Bill's. Mm-hmm. Right. That was an awesome duet, Crystal DeVore. Yeah, Eminem and... I mean, it's no... Elton John and George Michael was the best duet in the history of duets. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't let the sun go down on me. Ooh. And he's like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Elton John, and he comes in, hey, hold it here, and he does that whole thing that Elton John does. It's just the greatest thing. Come to Anaheim, Alexander Wu. I've spoken in Anaheim as well, Alexander, and I'll be back actually for the MGMA conference in October. Anaheim Convention Center, we're going to rock the place.
Z-Dog, I'm out here changing my brakes, and I lost it laughing at using the G word in vain. I made the cardinal sin, people.
You know, Tom's like an orthodox gay rights supporter. He won't even write out the word gay. He has to write G hyphen Y.
Did I ever tell you, I had a gay roommate in Chicago, and his name was Gay Tom. Because when I got to Chicago, they were like,
there was Tom.
There was two Toms. And they were like, we should call you Vegas. And I was like, no, that's terrible. And so they were like, all right, well, why don't we just call him Gay Tom? And I was like, so it was Gay Tom and Straight Tom.
We lived together
for a year in Chicago.
That's adorable, actually.
It was fun. And he was into, like, really, I shouldn't tell stories about him. But he was into, like, really big construction worker type dudes.
Really?
It was really interesting.
So you were the perfect fit.
Because they'd always be in my kitchen. And I'd be like, I'd go out to get cereal and just be like, hey, guy. And they'd be like, hey.
This is your college experience. It's hilarious to me. Like, Tom wakes up, he's ready to get his, like, bowl of Fruit Loops and his 20 Cokes to wake him up. And he sees, like, a member.
I only need 5 Cokes to wake me up.
He sees the Indian from you know, the Village People standing there.
You can imagine, it's like Chicago. There's just, like, some big dudes that work construction.
That's
and
amazing.
My roommate was this tiny little guy.
Wow.
Like, it's hilarious.
It's adorable, man.
Hilarious.
You know, so here's the thing. David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, Rick Kraske, that was another great duet from somebody who was bisexual and somebody who was gay. Now, Freddie Mercury is my people. He's a Zoroastrian, which is my people. So I love Freddie. Not in a sexual way, although I'll be honest. If he were here right now and he said, let's go, I would say I would consider it.
Yeah.
Because it's Freddie freaking Mercury.
I mean, you have to. If Freddie Mercury showed up right here in the flesh, first of all, he rose from the dead. That's crazy.
Okay.
All right.
Zombie?
Yeah.
Little gross, but I'm willing to take a hit.
Yeah. Jesus came back after 3 days. Freddie Mercury would have, in this scenario, come back after 20 years.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's right. And he would roll his stone with Brian May's guitar.
Yeah.
Tom had the Village People in his dorm. This one, Jerry. He kind of did. People love Freddie. I think you should call it This Is So Far Into Wonderland, Michelle Arroyo. You are so far into Wonderland, Michelle Arroyo. I think we probably should call it, though.
Anyway, the thing about PBMs, you guys, is they're a black box.
They're a black box.
We've got to stop that.
No. Not that there's anything wrong with black boxes. Everyone loves Freddie, Angela Brin. It's true. Everyone loves Freddie. There are very few people who don't like Freddie Mercury. I mean, you may not like the music, but Freddie was the man.
Yeah. No, Freddie was dope. I love Freddie.
And died of what at the time was a very stigmatized disease, HIV/AIDS. And now I think he would have lived because we have all the treatment and everything. So it's really a shame.
Unfortunately, I got to see Queen, but only with Paul Rodgers.
Oh, that's weak.
Put a bad taste in my mouth.
But still, you still got Brian May.
Yeah.
Jim Marty says Freddie Mercury would sing the PBMs into oblivion. He would. He would. Because what would Freddie Mercury sing for PBMs? He'd be like, PBM, PBM, PBM. I want to screw these PBMs. I want to screw them bad. I want to screw these PBMs. I want the money that they have.
Dude, we should talk about our Bismarcky pharmacies. Oh. What we're thinking about doing.
So we want to do a tribute to the pharmacist.
Yeah.
Bismarcky's. Oh, baby, you, you work pharmacy, and you say he just counts pills, and you say he just counts pills. Oh, baby, you.
We don't know the rest of the song. It's not part of that song we remember.
Something about being in the back of the mall. We wanted to do that with Brothers in Paris as well, Jay-Z, Kanye song, but... it has the N-word in the actual title, so we thought it might be a hard one to pull off without offending everybody. We're getting a lot of smiley faces for Baby You! And also for Freddie. Should we do a Freddie music video, Liz and Lauren? Maybe we should.
James says, we love when you guys get random. Oh my God, you guys should have been there when we were in Austin.
Oh my God.
Me and Z shared a hotel room.
It was something.
And this, we'd be...
No Village People.
We'd be in bed, we'd be tucked in, we'd be like, Z? We'd be like, yeah, Tom Heimer. What do you think about... Should we do a song on YMCA? Yeah, we probably should. That's dope. I like it.
You guys,
You guys think we're kidding. This is exactly how it went down. And then both of us at the same time, without even flinching, synchronized in bed, we're like, oh, baby, you. You work pharmacy.
I was like, Z? He's like, yeah, Tom Hanover.
Yeah, Tom Hanover.
I was like, good night, Z.
Good night, Tom Hanover.
I love you.
And that's how Tom earned
that is G-Y, Tom Hanover.
And that's the end of the show.
And that's the end of the show. Guys, we are really excited to be with you as every day. Stay tuned. Woo-hoo. We're moving to our new studio tomorrow. We may or may not do a show tomorrow. We may just stream live from the phone to show you the mess we've made of that new place. And don't get an Apple Pen because it's expensive, but I love it because it's dope. We out.
I'm all right. Uh-huh. They love that.